Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God, behold the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules him, for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review, the Creed, the first article, creation. Please read with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food, drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards, protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit, worthiness in me. For all this is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his condemnation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing together the gospel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord, to your glory, you have the words of eternal life.
The Holy Gospel for the third Sunday in Advent from St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for the hope and the promise that we have through the reality of our Jesus Christ into our world. Strengthen us now with these promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. There are a number of people in the scriptures that I really like, and one of them is Elijah. You remember him? Fiery prophet in the Old Testament. God used him to kind of draw a line in the sand to the prophets of Baal, the false prophets worshiping an idol. And Elijah said, "Go ahead, make two sacrifices. You pray to your God, I'll pray to mine." And the one who answers, the one who comes down and licks up and burns up all of the sacrifices, that's the real God. Can you imagine you alone standing in front of 450 people who claim to be woke, who claim to have the answers and the truth, who want to cancel you? And Elijah stands right there confident that God will hear. The prophets of Baal, they dance around, they pray, they cut themselves, they do all kinds of things, and then their God doesn't do anything. And Elijah prays, and God answers, and he burns up both sacrifices. There has not been a more victorious day for Elijah in his whole life, right there, seeing God act. Elijah prayed, God acted, he showed himself as the true God. And then there's John the Baptist, who really is Elijah, not reincarnated, but the spirit of Elijah now in the New Testament. John the Baptist, this guy who does not conform to society at all. A coat made of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, living out in the woods, eating wild locust and honey. And everyone he comes in front of, John's message is the same. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of your sins. The reign of heaven is here. John, being so bold that he would stand in front of the religious authorities, the Pharisees, and he would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he would add this, "You brood of vipers." How's that for someone who's confident? Both of these guys, as they come forward, they bring us an idea of what boldness in Christ looks like. Both of these guys, we could say, are heroes of faith. But the problem is, with heroes of faith, we put them on a pedestal, and we think that they've never struggled, that they've never wondered, that they've never had questions, that they're just that solid and nothing ever bothers them. Well, let's look at Elijah. Right after the prophets of Baal, when these 450 were shown that the one true God has come down and answered as Elijah prayed, right after that, King Herod's, or right after that, Jezebel issued a death sentence for Elijah. And he ran because he was afraid for his own life. John, he was in prison. His boldness seemed to have gotten the best of him as he told King Herod, "You can't sleep with your brother's wife. There's a commandment about that." And the king put him in prison. John's been in prison for a year, knowing, at least fairly certain, that his death is coming. Just waiting for every time the door opens, wondering if today is the day. John is in prison looking for answers. Elijah was struggling. John was struggling because of his imprisonment and his impending death. What do we see when we look at our heroes of faith? They look just like us. Clay feet, wondering, doubting, fearing. They look just like us. They're sinners that need absolute, concrete realities of what Jesus has done. They need assurance. They need hope. They need forgiveness. They need a Savior. So Jesus directed them, "Go tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." For assurance and hope and forgiveness, Jesus sent them to the concrete realities of what he has already done, the Son of God living in our world. Diseases, defects, dysfunction, doubt, even death, stopped by Jesus' very word and truth. Did you notice where Jesus didn't send the disciples? He didn't send them to BAM, to the self-help section, and say, "Go buy a couple of books and figure it out for yourself." He didn't send them to the religious leaders to have some theological debate about whatever something means. He didn't send them to search their heart. "Young Skywalker, look to your emotions." He didn't do that. He didn't send them to mysticism. Jesus directed them to the concrete realities of what he had done. "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor, they have good news preached to them." We're no different than Elijah or John. We have great days. Great days when our faith is solid and secure, and there is no doubt, no question. Everything that comes to us, we can direct it back to Christ and his promises, and we live confidently in Jesus and his promises. And there are days we're just like Elijah or John, and we've got questions. Questions about our future. Questions about where we're going. Questions about, "Lord, where are you in the midst of this? We've been praying a long time, and nothing seems to be happening." There are definitely times in our world where our fears and our doubts seem bigger than our Savior. That does not mean there's something the matter with you, by the way. There's nothing the matter with your baptismal faith. It doesn't make you a second-class citizen of heaven because you have some doubts. What it does, it means one thing. You're in good company because John and Elijah were there. What it means is you're a sinner. And that's a good thing because Jesus came for sinners. Jesus came for us. Jesus came to give us hope and promise, and he directs us for that hope and promise to the very things that he's already done and will continue to do. When our faith struggles, what it reveals about us is that we've got clay feet too. That sometimes the events of this world overwhelm us, and we, like John, want answers. So where do we go? Where do we go when we're struggling with these big questions? Well, we go to the same place that Jesus sent John's disciples. Look at what Jesus has done. Walk through the pages of the scriptures, all of it, Old Testament and New Testament, and see what Jesus has done. Let's start with this first miracle. Jesus is there at the wedding feast, and the host is about to be embarrassed because he didn't get enough wine. And they're going to run out. And Jesus, to save him from his embarrassment, makes wine. And not just a little wine, a lot of wine, and the best wine. Clearly showing right at the beginning that Jesus has authority over everything physical. One of the stories that I love, there are some friends, and they've got a friend who's lame, and they know Jesus is doing all of these miracles, so they take the lame man and bring him to Jesus, but the house is full. They can't get in. So they do what every good friend would do. They crawl up on the roof, and they tear the shingles off, and they lower him in front of Jesus. And Jesus does two miracles. Son, your sins are forgiven. Now pick up your mat and walk. And the man walks out. And he walks out because that miracle, that physical miracle, was to show that Jesus has authority over all physical parts, but he has the authority to forgive sins as well. Jesus ruined every funeral that he went to. We just read through the New Testament. A young woman, a widow, and her only son has died, and the funeral procession is carrying him out, and Jesus stops them and speaks to the young man, and he sits up and he's alive and he gives the son back to his mother. The centurion's daughter is dead, and Jesus speaks the word and she rises. Jesus says, Lazarus, come out, and the four-day dead, decomposing Lazarus walks out of the tomb. That's hope. Jesus speaks the words to a man that's crucified right next to him. And the man knows who Jesus is. And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Takes him from death to life again. Look at the events of Good Friday. Every event that happened on Good Friday with Jesus was for you, for me, for us, for our fears and our doubts and our questions. Everybody there on Good Friday was a sinner. And everybody there that Friday had their sins forgiven by Jesus. Not just there, but throughout eternity. Jesus there, not passively, not all of these events happening to him because he was too weak to do anything, but willingly, enduring the cross, scorning its shame, dying there for us, for our forgiveness. Those events of Good Friday were all so that we would be forgiven. Jesus, dead on the cross for you. Jesus laid in the grave for you. And because Jesus was put in the grave, every grave of those buried in faith is hallowed, a holy resting place, until that day when Christ calls us out of our graves to be with him. Jesus descended into hell to declare your victory. So now, one day, when Satan tries to accuse you of all of your sins, what he hears is Jesus saying, "It is finished. I paid for that sin. I gave my life for that sin and that sinner, and they're forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus risen for you, risen out of the grave where death could not hold him, to give you the assurance that one day when you close your eyes that last time, you will open them to see your Savior face to face. Waiting for the day when Christ steps upon the earth again. This very place right here is the place of hope and promise for us. This sanctuary, this altar, this font, these are the places where we see the absolute concrete realities of what Jesus has done to give us hope. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit grabs you from death, pulls you to life, and gives you faith to believe these very things that Jesus has done. The Holy Spirit giving faith to sinners and making them saints, that we might live in peace and hope. Jesus' very words preach to you this day. Go and tell, and this is where you put your name in. Go and tell. Let's try one more time. I know it's early. Go and tell what you see and hear. Over and over again, reminded that we are baptized children of God, and nothing physical or spiritual can change the fact that Christ claimed you right there in the waters of baptism. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus' very messianic work for you. And every time we gather at the altar, Jesus is directing us to look at the work I've done. Look at the work for you, for sinners, for their forgiveness. That same Jesus from the cross, from the grave, from the empty tomb is here for you, forgiveness, strength, and faith. The driving question in this text from John the Baptist is this: what do we do when we struggle? What do we do when we have doubts? What do we do when we have fears and we really wonder if Jesus is the one, or should we be looking somewhere else? Well, we do what Jesus directed them to do. We look at the work he's done. We look at the word that he preached to us. Sinners who don't deserve it receive a word of hope and promise and forgiveness. We look at the gifts that he gives to us right here, and we know that those things are hope and promise and forgiveness for us. All of these things are God's gifts to us. All of these things are God's gifts to sinners, that we might live in hope and peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.